Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
All right, good morning, everybody. Great to have you with us. We are live today. It is a beautiful summer day. It is summer, after all. And first of all, I want to say, we've got some interesting things to talk about today. Mike Nierman back in the news for a number of reasons, including he has filed to replace himself, as we had hoped that he would. And the smear written on Friday by the Oregonian, ostensibly about Mike Nierman, that is about me also, and letting me set the record straight for that. Also, how you can file, or you can sign the petition to put it to a vote, Senate Bill 554. You know, that's the one that Fred and the boys allowed to pass. That's the bill that makes you a criminal for having a gun openly displayed in your home. In case, you know, those folks want to, you know, kick in your door like they do. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, plus a few other things today as we go along. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to jeff@1220.am or jeff@kslm.news. And I have plenty of emails to get to here. First of all, let me just apologize for not being here live on Friday. Friday's a Freedom Friday, right? That's your opportunity to call and talk about whatever you want to talk about. Well, as you know, folks, I had gone to flown my airplane a week ago to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho for some political meetings. Well, the airplane broke. Had to get something fixed. I rented a car, drove back up there Thursday of last week after the show. Got up there in the late afternoon. And got over to the airport, and we couldn't make the airplane run right. We had to, I mean, we worked on it till late in the evening. It was too late then to take off and go home. So I just spent the night, got up in the morning. We spent almost all day, once again, working on the airplane, trying to make these things work right. Finally, I just said, look, I got to go home because I have crop to cut, got to get back to doing, and I was not, I did not take my radio broadcast gear with me because I didn't think I had to. So bottom line was, that's why I wasn't here. Literally, I was still stuck in Coeur d'Alene. I did get home Friday afternoon and got back to cutting grass seed. And you know, it's been warm and the grass seed fields have been maturing very rapidly. And that's all I've done all weekend long, including yesterday's Father's Day. I hope that all of you fathers had a great day. Yesterday in everything that you did. So that's why I wasn't here Friday, and just a quick update for you. So a smear was launched against both Mike Nierman and myself and the Oregon Citizen Lobby by Hillary Baroud of the Oregonian. And the smear is making the inference that myself and this citizen lobby group have purposefully eluded, which is in the headline, disclosing funding sources for years. What you need to know is that we've broken no laws here because nothing that we've been doing is regulated. Nothing that we have been doing fits the criteria of what the state law says. So the Oregon Citizen Lobby is just an ad hoc group of volunteers who've come together. We just have a name. We don't have a bank account. We're not registered. We just have a name. We have a website. And we were launched by Americans for Prosperity, by that group, after I helped found that group here in Oregon and guided it for 3.5 years and left it in 2011. My successor decided at that time, and I helped and have been helping all along to start Oregon Citizen Lobby. And the idea with it is to give a forum for help train volunteers, people who want to make a difference in their world, how to be effective at lobbying the legislature primarily. Now, we do some other work in terms of local government. It's really stated or slanted rather at the legislature. Mike Nierman has been a part of that for a long time. Now, Mike put together an online legislative bill analysis system, which allows you, as just whoever you are, to be able to sit at your computer, never go to the Capitol, and to analyze bills based on 5 criteria that we as the Oregon Citizen Lobby have put together in terms of what is good policy. Does it promote personal freedom and individual responsibility? Is it limited government? And so on and so forth, okay? So we have these criteria. And the system that Mike Nierman put together, it's a software system, because you got to understand Mike Nierman is a software designer. That's what he does, okay? So he put together this system that is tied with into the state's system so that a bill that is introduced, we, the citizen lobbyists, get to look at that bill and judge it on the criteria. And you can do that from your computer. You never have to go to the Capitol. Now, the story focuses on us going to the Capitol in what's called the war room. Okay, and it quotes me from the story quotes from a 2015 training event. This is after I had left Americans for Prosperity, but there was a local chapter, and that's what we did at Americans for Prosperity. We developed 32 local chapters around the state of Oregon because we wanted to teach people how to fight City Hall and to win the local level, because there's a way you can do that. And you know, I'm at this training event, and they quote me accurately, so obviously she watched the video. And what I described was where we got the idea for the war room. It came from state of Georgia colleague at Americans for Prosperity who had this idea to influence the legislature at the end of a legislative session by being there every day in a room in the Capitol and being able to quickly respond to legislation and 1-hour notices like we're at right now, basically, in the Oregon legislature. So that we, the citizens, the conservatives, the people who believe in limited government, can have an influence on and balance out what they're hearing, legislators, as they're trying to make a decision from other people. So I described that, and we tried that here. And here's where this hit piece in the Oregonian, and that's all it is, it's a smear. This is where they conflate purposefully the wrong things. You see, here's what happens in the war room for us. We figured out early on that we didn't want to wait till the end of a legislative session because, frankly, it's too late. We wanted to engage immediately, and I mean immediately, during the legislative session by being in the building every week. So we have one day of the week that we're in the building. Now, the idea for that was for us to build capacity, is the proper way to say it, by training and educating people. And that's what happens 90% of the time in the war room. As opposed to what happened in Georgia, we actually do very little lobbying in the war room, and there's a reason why. Most of the people who come to the war room, and some of you who listen to this show, you have been there. know that very little lobbying occurs in the war room. It's mostly education, it's mostly training, and bill analysis. Every now and then, we literally will have something that's happening while we're at a war room activity. During the hours of a war room, again, which is just, it's like 8 hours, and it's one day a week. During that time, there may be a bill or a hearing or legislators that we want to go talk to. That's lobbying. If you go testify in front of a hearing, that's citizen grassroots lobbying. Okay? The thing is that what happens in the war room, 90% of it is not lobbying. Because most of the people who attend the war room are there because they care about various issues. But rarely are those issues literally being discussed in a committee hearing where you could go testify on that particular day of a war room. Okay? That's why we train people because, and what happens most of the time is people then come back into the Capitol on their own, which is what we want. Or they write letters or they make phone calls, or in this case, because they can't go in the Capitol, they appear by Zoom, sign up, and give testimony. That's lobbying. That's not what we do 90% of the time in a war room. Now, any citizen who participates in the war room doesn't meet the criteria because the state law says if you are hired, and the story says this, hired specifically to influence state government, you have to register as a lobbyist. And others, including volunteers who represent an interest group, must register if they spend 24 hours or $100 on lobbying per quarter. Now, no one who comes to the war room spends 24 hours in a quarter. And by the way, that part of it is unconstitutional, in my opinion, right? It's a very, very much a limit on free speech. Nobody who's a volunteer who comes to the war room specifically spends 24 hours or $100. Because 90% of what we do there is not lobbying. Now, the reporter called and left a message for me as I was driving up on Thursday for this story. I didn't return the call. In fact, I didn't even know I had the message because of spotty cell phone service until sometime on Friday, and it was too late at that point. Now, the nexus here as to why she goes after me is because my little foundation, Oregon Capitol Watch Foundation, pays for the room rental for the Oregon Citizen Lobby. Because remember, Oregon Citizen Lobby is an ad hoc organization of volunteers. And we don't even have a bank account. Somebody's got to pay for the room rent. Now, I'll get into more of this when we come back. She's trying to make it seem like, in the story, that because I was paid at Oregon Capitol Watch Foundation, I violated the law. And I'll get into why she's wrong and why she's conflating purposefully two different things. Back in a moment. 6:20 in the morning. Listen to the talk. No, that's not poverty. As they march through town to the riverside, they baptize believers in this celebration. Stop the car.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us. I'll get back to why this is a smear piece against both myself and Mike Nierman from the Oregonian in a moment. I want to thank Freedom Heating and Air, another one of our great sponsors. They truly believe in freedom. They practice it in how they do their business. They are Johnny on the spot. If you had not heard Glenn, who called in, I think it was a week or so ago, to give us a testimonial about he called another company. They said it was going to be hours, if not later in the day, before they could get out there. He called Freedom Heating and Air, and they showed up immediately. That's the kind of both rapid response. And frankly, that's how you build a great business like they have. They've been in business in the Salem area for over 40 years. Now, it ought to give you a lot of comfort. You know what? They're the people you ought to do business with. So check them out on the web. You know, really hot days here. It was a pretty warm day yesterday, even though I was in an air-conditioned cab cutting grass seed. Doesn't matter. When you're uncomfortable because things aren't good in your home, like it's way too hot, you need to fix that. Freedom Heating and Air is just the organization to do that. Check out their website, freedomheatingandair.net. All one word, freedomheatingandair.net. Give them a call. They'll come on out and give you the same great service and great experience that Glenn had. freedomheatingandair.net. So, let's just quickly review. Oregon Citizen Lobby, ad hoc group of volunteers. Don't have a bank account, okay? But when you rent a room at the Capitol for our training, and 90% of what we do at the Capitol during the war room, quote unquote, is training. Maybe 10% is lobbying. Somebody's got to pay for that room. Oregon Capitol Watch Foundation does that. Okay, now, Oregon law says that if you are paid to lobby, specifically to influence state government, you have to register as a lobbyist. That's true. That's not what I do at Oregon Capitol Watch Foundation. Now, here's where Ms. Baroud and the leftist who run, she clearly has an agenda here in this smear. Here's where she is mixing the two. Because she says then that I had a salary, which I did, not anymore because we've sort of changed our model here for a number of reasons. And that we said we spent $64,000 over our 8 years of existence on lobbying. That is true. But it's a different definition. That's a federal definition, because we have to file a 990 because we are a 501c3 tax exempt organization. We have to file a 990. And what she lists here is virtually all the money we have spent has been for citizens' initiatives to get the signatures on the ballot. That does not qualify what she is purposefully mixing with being a hired lobbyist under state law. Because when you are paying for signature gatherers or the effort to get signatures for a citizen's initiative, you do not meet the criteria that she lists previously in the story. You are not hired specifically to influence state government. You are not in any way meeting the criteria that requires you to register, even spending $100 per quarter. You don't. If that were true, every single group, every single person who is out gathering signatures for any initiative would have to register with the Oregon Ethics Commission. They don't. Because you're not being hired or you're not expending time to lobby, influence state government. You're gathering signatures. This is the difference. And that's what we expended all our money for. But you see how she purposefully tries to conflate the two? She tries to make it seem like we are breaking the law, which we're not. We're breaking Oregon law by paying for the war room, which is not lobbying. And those of you who've been in the war room know exactly that. This is how you smear someone. This is exactly how you do it. State law for requiring to lobby and register as a lobbyist is not the same as the IRS definition of what is that you have to do in terms of grassroots lobbying. They're two different things. The money we spent on gathering signatures for initiatives under federal law, federal IRS code rather, we have to label as grassroots lobbying. It is not the same as the state law she is citing that says you have to register as a lobbyist. There are two different things, but notice how they put them together. Let's go quickly to Art, who's on the line. Art, good morning. Your thoughts today?
Good morning, my brother from another mother. Wish you would have had a better Father's Day. But I did want to call in. Be careful, Jeff. You're ruffling feathers. And obviously we all know that the Oregonian is a left-leaning organization, and therefore you absolutely are not doing anything wrong. You have your First Amendment rights, freedom of speech and all that good stuff, but your little organization has the right and the freedom to donate money for your training at the Capitol. And we all know, okay, that that's what you do. I've been around listening to you. Of course, I've never been down to the war room. But I know exactly what you're doing. You're educating people on how to be able to influence legislatures on causes that they are passionate to and like thinking individuals. And therefore, all I want to say is, number one, Jeff, if they give you any problems, I'll testify in court that it's a lie. And number two, just be careful, because you know that our AG's office love to shut up people who don't think like they do.
Stop the car. We gotta move. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back, friends. Great to have you with us. It is Monday, 503-589. Here's what we're talking about. The smear piece written against Mike Nierman and myself and the Oregon Citizen Lobby, which is a great group of just citizen volunteers, come to the Capitol once a week or sit at their computer and analyze legislation, which, by the way, I have to tell you, some Republicans don't like. Yes, you know, sometimes Republicans like to introduce bills that they know you'll never hear about just to make somebody happy or really to describe who they really are and what they really think. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. I want to finish up on that. Also, Mike Nierman has filed to replace himself. Yeah. And John Swanson, it's not Mike Swanson. I believe it's not Mike Swanson. I believe it's John Swanson, who's chief of staff for State Senator Chuck Thompson, is also thrown his hat in the ring there. So the commissioners of Yamhill, Polk, Marion, and Benton counties will make the final vote on Mike Nierman. That's why I want to encourage you all to contact those county commissioners and, frankly, the PCPs in those counties and ask them to put forward his name. Also, if you want to download the petition, Referendum 301, this is the one that says the anti-gun bill that makes you a felon, a criminal, for protecting your family by having a gun openly displayed in your home. Yeah. That one, if you want to download the petition, that we have 90 days to put it to a vote of the people. Gather enough signatures so that we, the people, can have our say. If you, which this is hard, but if you want to help, you go to responsiblerespons.com. Responsiblerespons.com. And I forget who sent that to me, but I thank you for whoever did that. Responsiblerespons.com. This is what Fred and the boys let happen. Speaking of Fred and the boys, Dale went to the Marion County meeting, and he said it was the most sickening blank show he's ever witnessed. The place was packed. He said, I was hopeful that people were crowding him because they wanted to take a crack at Fred Girard. Over time, it became apparent that was not the case. Fred never showed up. He had a female flunky who gushed out praise for Girard for 15 minutes straight. All his wonderful accomplishments that he did in the legislature, but a heavy schedule he had tomorrow, which made it impossible for him to show up at the meeting. When she'd done with her spiel, another woman got up with a clipboard like mine. My clipboard had a recall petition on it. I was hopeful that her clipboard had the recall petition on it as well. Turns out that woman had crafted a declaration of support for Fred Girard, tried to quash the recall effort. And when I realized this in its entirety, I stood up and walked out, and everybody staring at me. The last thing I heard a woman saying was that she wanted people to sign the declaration of support. She wanted to spread it to other districts who were represented by Fred Girard's cronies, who also sold us out. Never saw such a pack of Stepford Wife drones so blanked in my life. Shaking their heads in agreement with every sugar-coated dollop of saccharin plastic praise from this female flunky was heaping on him. It was truly sickening. So let me just say this. And by the way, the Marion County Republicans have put out a statement of support for Fred Girard. So Marion County Republicans, ask yourself this question. Why would you support Fred Girard when what he did has now made you a criminal in your home if you don't have a gun locked up? With what he did has made you a criminal for taking your legal concealed carry weapon, and you happen to be on the property next to a government building that has banned concealed carry, because that's what Senate Bill 554 does. How is that good for you and your family? You Marion County Republicans who voted at that meeting, how is that good for you? What's the end result of what Fred did? The end result is he made criminals and felons out of law-abiding citizens. We're not the problem. Oh, and this business about, you want to talk about a wink, wink, nod, nod, the Mike Nierman thing, right, on his video? The wink, wink, nod, nod is Fred saying that he negotiated away the emergency clause so we, the people, could repeal this. We could go put it to a vote. Yeah, right. That was all part of the backroom deal that he cut with his buddy, Peter Courtney. Now, what you need to know is that he and Peter Courtney have been longtime friends, which is why Peter Courtney has made Fred Girard a Republican in charge of a Democrat committee in the legislature. Did you know that? Capital Construction. That's where all the big bonding projects go through that. Now, why would a Democrat like Peter Courtney put a Republican in charge of a money handing out committee? Ask yourself that question. Oh, and the other bad thing is you Marion County Republicans who voted in favor of this support of Fred Girard, because he's this brilliant negotiator, right? Ask yourself this question. Because he says he negotiated the way the emergency clause, wink, wink, nod, nod, was all a backroom deal because he knew he was going to get the $4 million or more. Who knows what else he's going to get? If by some miracle we get this thing on the ballot to put it to a vote, we're not going to be able to raise enough money to compete against the millions that will come from Mike Bloomberg from New York to convince the people of Oregon, the voters of Oregon, that this bill, Senate Bill 554, that makes you a criminal, a felon in your home for having your own gun not locked up so you can defend your family when the gangbanger or the crazy violent criminal let out early by the Democrats and a few Republicans, let out of prison early, kicks in your door. The money that we're going to spend to try to convince the voters that we need to repeal this law is money that would have gone from the grassroots to support conservative Republican candidates. So what Fred Girod has done is just sucked away a bunch of money, if we get this on the ballot, that would go to Republican candidates. You Marion County Republicans, I'm just curious, do you think that's a good thing? How does that help you win future elections? I'm just curious, just asking the question. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to comment on that. If you want to comment on Mike Nierman filing to replace himself, which I think is a good idea. I want him to do that. Now, let me finish up with what Mike Nierman said on the video. Let me also clarify this. This was not an Oregon Citizen Lobby training event, even though Mike says it is. Mike goes around and does a great thing, and we love him for it. He goes around doing what's called a bill fest. And what, if you look at the screen behind him on the video, you will see that this is actually part of his training. And he goes around the state, and he puts on these trainings about how you, the citizen, can analyze bills sitting in front of your computer. You never have to go to the war room or go in front of the legislature. You can literally take your skill sets and your passion for liberty, and you can analyze bills that are introduced in the legislature. That's what Mike does. Now, he says in the video, the war rooms where we rent a room once a week, I'm quoting now, as its base of operations to go lobby people or whatever and go talk to your senator and tell them not to vote for this bill or go vote for that bill, unquote. That's true. Except that that's really not what happens in the war room. And Mike Nierman will also tell you what mostly happens in the war room is that he comes in and he talks and informs us on how things work, how things are going. Other legislators come into the war room and do the same thing. We've had many of them. Leadership, Senate and House come into the war room. Other people stop by because they know we're there and they know we're watching them. That's a good thing, don't you think? And this is where this is all being confused purposefully by the Oregonian as a smear. Now, Art's right. Be careful ruffling a few feathers out there. Because you see, when a newspaper is, and what this article has done, its entire tone and the headline is all meant to generate an investigation of both me, my organization, and the Oregon Citizen Lobby. That's exactly what they're doing here. Because she is conflating, the reporter, the money that we spent, that we say we spent, that we have to report to the IRS. She's making it seem like that is a violation of Oregon statute. It is not. They're very different things. Now, the money that is spent on the war room, it costs $75 a day to rent a room. Anybody can rent a room at the Capitol, $75 a day. Now, you would say, well, doesn't that violate the $100 per quarter rule? No, it doesn't. You know why? Because we're not lobbying. Only maybe 10% of the time that we're in the war room are we lobbying. But the reporter doesn't know that because she doesn't care. It's all about smearing an effort for the citizens on the conservative side to stand up. Back in a moment. We'll be right back.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
We are back. Great to have you with us. 503-589-1220. It's the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am or Jeff at KSLM.news. Kim had written me an email about, well, thinking about leaving Oregon and going to Florida. A lot of Oregonians are going to Florida, places like that that are free, right? Well, Kim writes the following. Says, because of all the great stuff that Governor DeSantis is doing, it's very attractive to go there. However, it appears that Oregon has the same, Florida has rather the same statute that Oregon does about forcing forced vaccination. So the question is, if Florida laws allow for forced quarantine and forced vaccination, are there other states that don't have laws allowing for government-imposed medical tyranny? That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to it. I think there probably are. And I would look at states like South Dakota. I would look at states like Oklahoma and see what is on the books there in terms of actual state law. I mean, that seems to be the thing. Ryan sent me an email saying, I really enjoy your show. And then he sent me a link to the TMZ.com story about Macy Gray, who's a singer, black singer. A new redesign of the American flag. Old Glory, Juneteenth. Think that's a good idea? I don't. Dwight sent me an article about Evanston, Illinois, is hosting a Juneteenth gay pride parade. While they canceled the July 4th parade and fireworks. Really? That's not a good thing. That's crazy leftism if you ever heard it. Wilbur, our buddy Wilbur, by the way, he pops up every now and then. We appreciate him. He's a pseudo-liberal, kind of, I guess, even though I guess he voted for Trump. But he said this. He says, about Father's Day, when liberal or moderate men talk about their wives or their families, they say how wonderful they are or that they love them and things like that. I've always wondered about that, since conservative real men seem to reserve those words for their guns and their bottles. Oh, Wilbur. I don't know. Do any of you conservative gun-toting guys out there tell your wife you love them, how wonderful they are, or your kids? Do you? Jeez. Rich writes me an email about Oregon Liberty, or it's actually the Oregon Citizen Lobby. It seems to me that the left is in a panic. They're attacking anything that is a conservative leaning and educating people on how the political process works and to report on what is in a bill is, to the left, the worst things you can do. How dare anyone educate people and expose the details in a bill that is bad for Oregon and its citizens? Shame, shame, shame. Laugh out loud. By the way, I also want to thank Eric Azer, Righteous Renovations, who's a contractor, who's a man of faith, and he lives it in how he treats you as his customer. And that's really true. And all you need to do is to go to his website and read the customer testimonials, and you'll see that it is true. Go to RighteousRenovations.com, RighteousRenovations.com. Check it out. Check out all the before and after pictures of projects that they've done, especially those that are, you know, the sensitive areas of your home, say like your bathroom, a bathroom remodel, a kitchen remodel. You want to disrupt your life? Do one of those. I have. And let me tell you, when if you're doing it yourself like I did, which you don't want to do, you just hire Eric Azer as a contractor. They'll come in and get it done. Because it took me forever. And that doesn't make the missus very happy. Anyway, RighteousRenovations.com. Check them out. Rich also wrote an email about the Marion County meeting. I was there, and the email you read seems to be a pretty good observation. I showed some people a question that was brought to me by my neighbors, and it was, so how is someone on a fixed income supposed to handle the tax increases? And one person laughed, and another like me had no idea how to answer that. You know why that's relevant? Because Fred and the boys didn't walk out and negotiate the killing of bad bills. Oh, like maybe a property tax increase. You wait, folks. That's coming. And those of you Marion County folks that went to the Republican Party meeting, voted to oppose the recall of Fred Girard, and support it. Support what he did. Just curious, how are you going to feel when at the end of the session, a bill that allows a workaround that increases your property taxes gets passed because Fred and the boys sold us out and wouldn't walk away and negotiate their way back into the building? How are you going to feel about that? Let's go to the phones. Go to Larry. Larry, good morning. What do you say today?
What's the status of this recall against Fred Girard?
I don't know. That's the only honest thing I can tell you. They have, I think, till July 6th to turn in the signatures. I don't know.
Okay. Well, there's a business in Salem that sells guns, and they had a big sign on their fence there for a few days about recalling Fred, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. So I don't know what's going on with that.
I don't either. It's disappointing. It's well, in fact, I'll just end it. It's a fair. You're not alone, okay, Larry. I'm as frustrated as you are. Julie writes an email about the Republican Party in Marion County. The Marion County Republican Party is the reason people refuse to donate or take one of two steps: leave the party or leave the state. It's just stunning to me how thinking conservative people cannot think through the damage that Fred Girard and these five other Rhino Republicans have done to the cause of conservatism, not just the party. I want to thank also, by the way, ProBioscience, great Salem-based company that makes a natural product that will make your body feel better. Yesterday, Larry, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Yesterday, as I was out driving all day on Father's Day, the windrower around and around the field cutting grass seed, my back was hurting me, and I put some of the pain stick CBD on it that I got from ProBioscience. Pain went away, and I felt great. If you want to feel like that, contact ProBioscience. Go to their website, pro-biosciencecom. pro-bioscience.com, and look at all their great products, including that pain stick that I rave about, because it works, friends. It really does. It works for me, and it works for a lot of you who've bought it. If you buy online in the month of June, use the word father, because this is the month we celebrate Father's Day, father, and you get 15% off. You can also find all of their great products at the Tobacco Pouch on Edgewater or Liquivana Vape Shops in both Malala and in Silverton. Folks, I just listen to what's going on out there. Take anything you read from the liberal news media with a big grain of salt, especially when it comes to attacking, yes, as Rich pointed out, conservative groups that are trying to help you be more effective. See you tomorrow, friends. Take care. Bye.